So I'm going to read two, I'm preaching from the Old Testament, so I'm going to read two New Testament passages and slightly edited from the bulletin from Matthew 5. I'm going to pick up with verse 10. This is the word of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I'm going to read two verses in James 5. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Amen. So I'll ask you now to turn to 1 Kings 19. First Kings 19, and I'll read portions of chapter 19, and also from Second Kings 1, and Ahab is the king in the north, and his Ahab's wife, what's her name? Jezebel. All right. Is on the scene. So before we pray, let's ask for, or before we read, let's pray. Right. So Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to the truth so that we would, yes, see both the joy and the seriousness and the sobriety of confessing faith in our Lord. So we pray that you would soften our hearts and open our ears. We know, O Lord, that the flowers now are beginning to fail and to fall, and that our bodies return to the earth. And yet the word of our God stands forever. So may that be our strength and encouragement here today. Grant us eyes of faith. Bless your servant and your servants. And we commit to you now the reading and hearing and declaration of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings 19, this is the word of God. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Amen. And then I'll just read one verse, I'll say for now, from 2 Kings 2. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Amen. May God add richly to his word as we consider it here today. I realize that the books on homiletics say that you should not start a sermon with an application, but I want to, and I'm old enough now to do whatever I want to do. I want you to consider praying more so, and particularly for the persecuted church, I think Peter put that in the bulletin, a prayer listing for the persecuted church. And it lists prayers, or these sheets list prayers like, praise God for the release from prison of three Christian women in southwest China, or in Pakistan, Christian widow Shazia was raped and murdered by four men in Lahore for refusing to convert to Islam and marry a Muslim. Pray for Shazia's two sons and daughter who have been traumatized and are now being cared for by their grandmother. Police have arrested the prime suspect who has confessed the killing. Pray that justice will be served. And at this moment, I want to pray for them. Oh Lord, I pray for Shazia. I pray for her family, I should say, and for the children, O Lord, for those who have suffered for the gospel, and I thank you for those who have been released from prison in China. And I want to encourage us to pray and to learn how to do things, even if we do it poorly, That is, don't let some standard of perfection undermine our effort. G.K. Chesterton said something along the lines, whatever is worth doing poorly. And Christians are filled with guilt and, oh no, I can't do this well and so forth. So you forget for 10 days. Get up, back on the saddle and do it again. I exercised yesterday and this past week. I exercised poorly. But I want myself to know that I'm a man who exercises, even if it's sometimes poorly. And my appeal here is I want us to identify with the persecuted church and the persecuted prophets, of which Elijah is one, and he is part of a long line of faithful servants who have suffered for his faith. And it's good for you and for me, the people of God, to hear that today. It is good for you and for me, the people of God, to hear that today. So that will be our message, or that's the introduction. Elijah, as a persecuted prophet, in addition to paving the way and pointing to the one who would follow, right? In his line, the one who would follow. He himself comes following in the path of another, that is Moses. That is, Elijah is Moses come again in being persecuted and in ministry in general. It's not by chance that the New Testament at the Transfiguration puts Elijah and Moses together, holding hands, so to speak, even if not literally. They both were exiled, if you will. They had to run from the land as messengers who brought judgment upon that land. Moses from Egypt to Midian, and then he meets a woman there, and Elijah runs from the land to meet another woman, the widow of Zarephath. Both stories, by the way, relating to water. We won't focus on that here today. And then they return from exile, and both of them confront evil kings. One, Pharaoh, and the other, Ahab. And reminds them that there's a God in Israel who rules the earth. Both mock the gods of the day. Moses through the plagues, particularly against the gods of the Egyptians, or the Egyptians' gods. And Elijah through the mocking of Baal. Where is your God? Why can't he light this fire? Is your God on the can? Is he in the bathroom? Is he too busy to come? Both are on mountains, Mount Sinai or Mount Carmel,
so that the people would acknowledge that the Lord is God and we will serve Him. Both have God pass through or pass before them in glory, revealing His glory. Not fully, because if it was everything, they would have just evaporated, you could say. And both give some of that glory to their successor. Moses to Joshua, and then Elijah to Elisha. The links, these links between Elijah and Moses are not there just to help us enjoy the story. Oh, that was neat. The point is that Elijah's ministry is like Moses. Moses is the great prophet who sets up the tabernacle and sacrificial system. In Elijah's day, worship has been corrupted. It was corrupt, especially in the northern kingdom. And Elijah's mission then is to call Israel back and to rebuild the foundations for the worship, for worship and life in Israel. Elijah's mission is to call Israel to renew the covenant. And it's interesting in 2 Kings 2. We'll read now, I guess. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that way, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Who does that remind you of? Right? The splitting of the Red Sea. As said, the New Testament ties together Moses and Elijah and the Spirit of God. Moses brings the people into fellowship in the glory of God, the tabernacle, and the new garden, the new Canaan, new life and new creation, and further and fuller glory. If you like it this way, the second point then, both Moses and Elijah are both part of a long line of prophets who suffered, who were persecuted, who had a hard time of it. They did not have easy ministries. The prophets, the long line of the prophets. In fact, Jesus speaks about this and says, there wasn't a prophet who you would not kill. And says in Matthew 23 that the blood of all those prophets will be upon this particular generation. And the point here now is that these prophets were ridiculed, the prophets of God. Now, not just Elijah and Moses, although them too, that they were ridiculed, that they were given, that people looked at them like they were strange and odd, that they were accused of things, that they were debarred from attending God's house, Jeremiah 36. And by having their prophetic words both spoken and written, that they were rejected, that as they spoke into the community, that as they spoke, that people could not hear their words and said, shut your mouth or give me your word and I will cut it up and I will burn it. That physical violence was meted out to their persons and it took various forms, that they were placed in stocks. That does not sound easy or fun. They were kept in chains. They were slapped in the face. They were imprisoned in cells and dungeons and cisterns. They, in some cases, they lived on bread and water, and they were threatened with death, and others were actually put to death. They were put to death for their faith and for their ministry. Jeremiah describes his ministry as one who is a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. That he is a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And Micaiah, as I mentioned, was slapped in the face and put in prison. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, was stoned to death for rebuking the people of God for their idolatry. Hananiah, the seer, reproved King Asa for relying on the king. And for that great deed, he was put in prison. He was put in prison. When King Jehoiakim heard what was said, he sought ways of putting Uriah the prophet to death. He was struck down with a sword and his body thrown into the common burial place. And as we think of Elijah, who comes in the spirit and in the line of Elijah?
A little bit later, we'll say. Who comes 800 or so years later in the spirit of Elijah? John the Baptist, who proclaims that there is another coming. But what happens to John the Baptist for his ministry? What glory did he receive? How did it all go for him? Was it all just one big success story? Was it this great time of expansion so that his church grew and his following grew? They took his head and sliced it off. And you remember Stephen? We'll call him a prophet. And if you will, his prophecy comes to fruition before his very eyes. Because in condemning the people of God, he says, "Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute?" Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not? You killed them all. And then what do they do to Stephen? They kill him. That's why I say, technically not, right? Prophet. But was there a prophet? He prophesied, if you will. And as Jesus said, there was not a prophet that from Abel to Zechariah that you guys would not put to death. This being a faithful covenant member is not an easy thing to do. It comes with a cost. Third point, and back to Kings and 2 Kings now, and 2 Kings 2. So, at that time, the prophets were hiding in caves. They ran. They needed to take protection. And in 2 Kings 2, we have Elijah passing the mantle. Elijah passing the mantle to Elisha. And the point is not as much that, is that Elijah is receiving his glory and receiving his reward in the most dramatic fashion. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Elisha knew a good thing. He didn't want his man. He didn't want his teacher. He didn't want his boss to run away. He didn't want to lose him. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Do you know that?" And he said, "Yes, I know, but keep silent." There's no need to speak about such bad news, so to speak. Don't rub salt into my wound, if you will. Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Excuse me. Elisha says, "I'm not letting you go. I want you around for every last moment, for every last minute." Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over the dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me."
perhaps not a double portion in quantity, but an idea of the firstborn son would receive, if you will, a double inheritance, so that he had special privileges and special rights. So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be." And now we have one of the best verses in the Bible. Like one of those, if you're the type to underline the verse, underline it. If you're the type that has highlighter, you highlight it. If you're the type that memorizes, you would memorize. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Heaven, don't think of clouds and playing a harp, but heaven is the place of God's abode. That is that Elijah now is in the presence of God, and to live, and I now mean to really live, to live in the manner that we were created to live in the manner that people are yearning for, even though they don't know what they're yearning for. What they want and what they desire and what you need and what I need is to live in the presence of God. It's to live in the presence of God. To live in the presence of God, that we need that, that that's what we were created to do, to live in God's presence and in God's glory, that we would want that and desire that more than we want any other thing in life, to live in the presence of God, more than anything else. So for Elijah, before it was dimly lit, but now it is brightly lit, we'll say. Now it is all glory. Heaven, not clouds, but the place of God's abode. That tabernacle of holiness and grandeur. He has now entered into that place. In all glory and in all beauty. And Elisha saw it in verse 12 and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen on him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." That is that his request now has been fulfilled. Give me double. He's able to do that which Elijah had done, that which Moses had done. And now he is being anointed, if you will, into the ministry of the prophecy, which is another way to say he is being anointed into that ministry where many of them will be put to death, many of them will suffer, and many of them will be persecuted for that which they do. But Elijah now has received his glory and is privileged accordingly. Let me make a couple of points. I'm asking that you, the people of God here today, that you would labor self-consciously. You'd be aware that you would be self-conscious about these things. That you would labor unto glory. That you would labor unto glory and for your reward. That you would labor unto glory and for your reward. Your entrance into glory may not be as dramatic as Elijah, and I would bet against it being that dramatic. But your entrance into the kingdom of heaven, and now into that kingdom of heaven, will be just as glorious. that your entrance will be just as glorious. Your entrance, the means by which may not be as glorious, but the end will be just as glorious. And that I want you to labor knowing that we confess that God rewards your labor and that you labor not in vain. That you labor not in vain. And if you're anything like me, in my weakness, in my lack of faith, I ask myself now and then, or maybe every morning, or maybe every Saturday night, or maybe every Sunday morning at some level, why am I doing this? Does anybody care? Does anybody listen? Does it make any difference? Why go on? Why not just give up? Why not go and watch a soccer game and drink beer today? What am I doing here? And the answer is for the glory of God, because this is not make-believe, but this is the reality that God made the world and He made you to serve Him and to live in communion and fellowship with Him and to labor with all confidence that as you are up at 2 o'clock in the morning with your child, that as you are struggling in your work, as you say, why am I doing this? That you are laboring unto glory and that God will reward you. And it's a good thing to want to be rewarded. It's not a bad thing. If you were a VBS worker this summer, you labored unto glory. And if you are going to do the same thing next year, if you are working on the box ministry, the Christmas box ministry, I forget the name of it, but you are laboring unto glory. If you work with music, if you are a trustee, if you do landscaping, if you send cards, if you witness, all this parenting, if you are caring for a parent or an elderly parent, that you are doing that not in vain. That you are doing that not in vain. That you are doing that not in vain, but that you are laboring unto glory. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great. And for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Very good, John. And we confess that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And Jesus says, don't you worry, in no wise will you lose your reward. Don't you worry that you will not lose your reward. And my job then, my privilege, the glorious job that I have, which is, when I'm thinking rightly, a glorious job, is to remind you today and to be very self-conscious and to be acutely aware that you labor unto glory and for the reward that God will give you. Yes? You got that? And number two, no self-pity. I don't know the trials that you are going through. And I imagine if some of you revealed some of the things that have happened to you in your life, you probably could bring tears. And Elijah teetered on self-pity. Oh, woe is me. For August 3rd in the Standing on the Gap, that's what was, you have the September one. Christian, a Chinese woman leader said, persecution is a discipline of God for us in order to drive us to repentance. If we never move beyond our anger and polemics against the evil government and our own self-pity, then we will waste this divinely given opportunity for our purification and growth. We need to turn the focus on ourselves to face our own sin and to repent. Pray for these Chinese Christians to hold fast to repentance. And I just say, why are you surprised? And I mimic now a writer of the Bible, otherwise known as Peter. Why are you surprised when difficulties come your way? Why do you think that it's so strange? Why do you think that it's so unique to you? What you thought you had some kind of special exemption? That you were going to be excluded? Have you read the Bible? Have you read covenant history? Have you read about the women who were sawed in half? Sawed in two? And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. That they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. And Jesus said, I think it was Jesus, yes, who said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So today's prophets must expect the same treatment their predecessors have always received. With the promise that not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Or that's Romans 5, or Colossians, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Or James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials. Self-pity is not a healthy thing, a very unhealthy thing. And believe me, our world is awash in it. I shouldn't say this, but I can't stop myself. So that those who go to Harvard and Yale and so forth tell us about what difficult lives they have. And they may have had difficult lives at some level. I'm not denying that. But they want us to pity them. Don't fall prey to self-pity. And then thirdly, pray like a righteous man. That is, pray like Elijah. Pray like a righteous man. Elijah was a man of nature like you. He was not some superhuman. I mean, he was, but he wanted to quit. He wanted nothing to do with it all. I'm out. There's nobody left. Elijah was a man of nature with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command.
So pray. And pray for those who are being persecuted, even if it's done poorly. Oh, you got a sheet. And you'll see the sheet a week from now. Oh, I didn't do it. Okay. Pray then. What's today's date? About the 17th, we'll say. 15 police officers raided a youth summer camp run by Zion Reform Church in a town that I can't pronounce, capital in a province I can't pronounce. They detained 4 leaders, placing them in detention for 15 days, carrying out activities in the name of an illegal social organization. Oh Lord, we pray for these saints right now. We pray. We pray. More so that we would be men and women of prayer who would pray all the time, not just prayer meeting, or that we would be people who pray, that we get in the car, and even if we only have to drive a mile, we say a prayer under our breath, Lord, help me and grant me safety for this mile. That we would be inclined to prayer, that we would see our children, and that we would pray for them, that we would be praying for them, that we would put them down at night and pray, oh Lord, Hannah, oh Lord, Christiana, O Lord, mercy. O Lord, Sarah, be kind unto them. And that those prayers would be on our lips all the time. That we would be of that ilk,
that we would pray for the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, bless Covenant. O Lord, bless Calvary. O Lord, bless Zion Lutheran. O Lord, bless the church of God. O Lord, bless the nations. Bless the nations in Africa. Bless the nations in South America. Bless Peru. Bless every nation out there. May the leaders, O Lord, submit to the Lord Jesus. May it be so. We pray for VBS. We pray for all that we do. We pray for anything and everything all the time. Which is a way of saying that we just have a mindset. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm about to start Sunday school. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. For I am a needy person and I am dependent upon you. And that's the message. And we'll end with this. This being a Christian church. Even as we get excited, or some of us get excited about Elijah or Elisha or Moses or John the Baptist or Paul, whatever the case may be, consider him who endured such opposition. That when the cross was before him, he endured the shame. For you. And you. That's the gospel. Consider him who endured such opposition. Scorning the shame. And now where is he? At the right hand of God the Father. Ready to hear you and bless you, to forgive you, and to minister unto you. So let us pray. O Lord, there are many things in this world that we have trouble handling. May eyes of faith help us, we pray. May the lips of prayer help us, O Lord. And may we grow. And may we ever more so consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. And we pray in his name. Amen.